Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Amen. Thank you, choir. Thank you, youth choir. We bless the Lord on today. Amen. If you will stand all over this place, I want us to just prepare our hearts and our minds to receive what the Lord has for us today through the word. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. Now if you love him, say, oh, oh. Oh, how I love Jesus.
Oh, how I love Jesus.
He really is the best thing that ever happened to me.
Oh, how I
love Jesus. Because he first. Oh, how I love Jesus. Come on, sing it like you really love him. Oh, how I love Jesus.
Oh, how I love Jesus.
Oh, how I love Jesus.
Oh, because he first loved me.
In the book of Philippians, chapter 2, there is a word from the Lord. Philippians chapter 2. And we want to call your attention to verses 5 through 11. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. And there you will find these words. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to share with you today these thoughts, these reflections, these considerations on the importance of being humble. The importance of being humble. Thank you, ushers. Most people, I have discovered in life, that most people want to succeed in life. Most people want to be both prosperous and wealthy. Most people want to be healthy and have good success. That's just human nature. As a matter of fact, we love hearing scriptures that tell us things like, you are the head and not the tail. We love scriptures that tell us that we shall be the lender and not the borrower. We love those passages that say stuff like the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. We love sermons and teachings on how to get the blessings of God and how to prosper. We love hearing lessons on the abundant life. However, most of us fail miserably at ever attaining or achieving the levels of success we desire and never reach the level of prosperity available to us simply because we misappropriate the word of God as it relates to being humble. I want to suggest to you today, people of God, that if you're serious about being exalted, if you're serious about having good success, if you're serious about prosperity in your life, then you've got to reexamine what the word says about attaining the abundant life through humility. I know that this is what the Lord would have me to say today, because as I've watched over this week, Muhammad Ali has passed on to another place, and to hear all of the stories about his humility, in spite of his fame, in spite of his appearing braggadocious and I'm the greatest and all of that, as he lived life, as he suffered sickness, we were able to see how a man who was once very braggadocious became very humble. Amen. I talked a little about that in Sunday school this morning. Now, if you will tell the truth today, you have all of the books. You've got the CDs. You've got the DVDs on prosperity preaching and teaching. If the truth will be told, you've been to every conference that had anything to do with being more successful, more accomplished in life. But the only ones who appear to be doing markedly better are the preachers, teachers, and conference hosts that you've been giving your money to. Tell your neighbor, the Bible is right. Something else has to be wrong. And my brothers and sisters, the Bible is very clear on how you spread your wings and fly into prosperity and success. And unfortunately, it's not the way most of you have been taught. Can I tell you very simply how to attain success and elevation in this life? It won't cost you a dime. Now, what I'm going to tell you is simple, but I'm not going to promise you it's easy. If you want to know the formula for success, and we're going to come back to our text that we've given you, but I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 23. And I want you to hear these words of Jesus the Christ as he informs us about the true path to being successful. See, a lot of folk think I've got a plot, I've got a plan, I've got to, amen, get in with the right circles, I've got to get the right friends, I've got to have the right associates, I've got to get the right degrees and all of that stuff behind my name. But I need to tell you that none of that guarantees true success. If you really want success in your life, if you really want prosperity in your life, if you really want promotion in your life, tell your neighbor, you've got to do it God's way. Look at what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 23, verses 11 and 12. This is Jesus. He says, "But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased." That means brought down. "And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted." I've come by, my brothers and sisters, to tell us, to inform us, to remind us that the true way to being successful and having promotion and status in life is through being humble. Tell your neighbor, you got to be humble. You've got to learn how to be humble. You've got to strive to be humble, because my brothers and sisters, the Bible is replete with situations and circumstances where God has resisted prideful people. I say God resists prideful people. And so I want us today to diminish. This is what it's going to take if you want true success in your life. You've got to diminish your own assessment of your importance and allocate all of the high-minded and praiseworthy assessments that you think about yourself to God. And I assure you, your life is going to turn around. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying that all that stuff, that highfalutin stuff you think about yourself, I dare you to stop thinking so much about yourself and start giving God credit. Start giving God praise. Start thanking God. Amen. Even for the small things. Amen. No matter what it is there anybody here other than me who realizes that without God, I would be nothing. Without God, I would fail. And let me tell you something. When we start getting caught up in ourselves, see, one thing I know about God is that he is going to get the glory that is due him. And as much as you like to share, amen, his glory with him, tell your neighbor, God ain't sharing his glory with anybody. As a matter of fact, he deserves, let me rephrase that, all of the glory belongs to him. Because as soon as I say, I woke up this morning, I've got to back up and say, God woke me up this morning. Come on, where are my witnesses? Where are my witnesses? As soon as I brag on a big steak that I ate at Ruth Chris Steakhouse, I got to back up and say, if it hadn't been for the Lord, oh my, we've got to give him the praise. Now, I'm talking about real, genuine, sustained success. Let me say that again. I'm talking about real, genuine, sustained success. And I've got to say it like that because, see, the devil will let you allow short-lived and temporary success. The devil, if you get elevated by the devil, I'm here to tell you that he's not elevating you for any, amen, permanent situation. The devil only gets you up high enough so you can get caught up in yourself. And then the devil leaves you by yourself, and God has to come in and show you that, oh, no, you ain't got no power. There would be no power if it wasn't from God. There would be, amen, no wealth if you didn't get it from God. Come on, where are my folk that can say every good and every perfect gift comes from God? Let me hear you say it. Every good and every perfect gift comes from God. That tells me that there's some other gifts out there. I don't know about you, but I want the good gifts and I want the perfect gifts, and they only come from God. So we've got to look to him for our help. I'm talking about the kind of success that will last a lifetime and literally last into eternity. Now, I'm going to drive this message home by showing you that if Jesus the Christ could humble himself, Let me rewind to say that again. If Jesus the Christ could humble himself, somebody's still up on their high horse. Somebody, amen, somebody didn't get it. If Jesus the Christ could humble himself, now, why do I feel the need to repeat it? I feel the need to repeat it because all of the self-help books, for the most part, tell us that we need to have confidence, and you do need to have confidence. But can I tell you something? That before you put your confidence in yourself, you better put your confidence in God. Amen. The self-help books tell us that, and y'all have heard me stand up and say, you know, you may not like me and all that stuff, and you've heard me say, I'll get in the mirror and look at my fine, good-looking self and encourage myself. Amen. But if God ain't in the midst of it, if you're encouraging yourself apart from who God is and what God has done, you're just encouraging a lie. I said that if you're not encouraging yourself based upon what God has to say about you, you're encouraging a lie. Where are my folk who really, you know, you don't care if other folk like you as long as you know you got your business in line with God. So let's look at this word, humble, first of all. The word humble means, Webster says that humble is having or showing a modest or low estimate of one's own importance.
Humility, humility. A modest or low view of one's own importance. Humbleness, humbleness, humbleness. Philippians 2, 5 through 11 is called the hymn of Christ. It's called the hymn of Christ. Because scholars tell us that this passage records an actual hymn that was sung in the early church. This hymn is a part of the larger conversation about Christian unity. As a matter of fact, in verses 1 through 4, Paul issues a call to spiritual unity. The rest of the chapter gives us four models of the selfless humility needed for spiritual unity. If you're going to have spiritual unity, then you've got to have people who are humble. See, we'll never be on one accord. We'll never get together and be in unity if you think you're better than me and I think I'm better than you. But when we get to the level where we realize that I need you and you need me, we're all a part of God's body, amen, I'm no better than you. You're no better than me. We're all God's children. See, because watch this. I figured out why I get mad sometimes. The times that I get mad at other folk is because they have said something or done something that makes me feel like they don't really respect who I am. After all, I'm Pastor Garner. Put some respect.
See, only hip-hop folk know what I'm talking about. Amen.
But whenever I start feeling like I'm all that and a bag of chips, and you don't talk to me or treat me, amen, based upon what I think about my own importance, that's when I get offended. And guess what? I'm not by myself. That's when you get mad. And I'm not going to let nobody talk to me any kind. I'm not going to. He put his pants on just like I do. And I done been to school. I done been. And we got a degree, and I work for this and all of that. He's not going to handle me in a kind of way. All of that, amen, offense comes out of our own self-importance. Because y'all, I'm talking to you, but I'm really, amen, I'm kind of really feeding you some stuff I've learned lately, amen. And that is that I ain't so much that what happens to you can't happen to me. My brothers and sisters, you've got to reach a point in your life, and this is my first point, if you need points, because when we talk about the fact that Jesus humbled himself, when we talk about his humility, we've got to also talk about his humiliation. Amen. Those words go together. They work together. Amen. So a part of humility is being open to being humiliated. So when you reach a point where you realize, amen, it blessed me this morning to see the little video clip. And I said it in Sunday school. If you're on Facebook and you're my friend, go look at the video that Muhammad Ali put on there. And the young man asked him, Muhammad, amen, what do you plan on doing after retirement? And he talked about how short life really is. And he said this. He told the young man to sum it all up. He said, I plan on spending the rest of my life trying to get in a right relationship with God and living a life that's pleasing to him, because ultimately that's all that's going to matter. I think his funeral is Friday. And if it's televised, I'm going to be looking, because I want to see if those title belts are going to go with him. Amen. Guess what? And you can't take none of that. Amen. All of our pride, you know, some of us got the big head because we got a few prizes and certificates and trophies and diplomas and all of that. And we let all that stuff give us the big head. But I come by to tell you today that when this life is done, ain't none of that going to matter. Do you know what's going to matter? God is going to want to know, how did you treat your brother? God is going to want to know, how did you treat your sister? God is going to want to know, how did you act when folk humiliated you, when they lied on you, when they talked about you, when they cussed you? Because when you get humble, folk can cuss you out. I've had folk walk flat in my office and got the sign on the door, Pastor Study, and come right in there and flat out cuss me out. And don't think Pastor is so saved that he don't know some words. But I figured this much out: if I'm going to be a servant for God, and if I'm ultimately going to get my reward in heaven, when I'm humiliated by folk, I've got to say, I'm not coming down to your level, baby. I'm trying to get to Jesus. I don't care. Let them lie on you. Let them talk about you. Let them slander your name. But make up in your mind, for Christ I'll live and for Christ I'll die. I wish somebody would say, serving the Lord will pay off after a while. Well, the first thing we see in Philippians chapter 2, look at verse 6. We see the humiliation of Christ. Now, in order for you to appreciate the humiliation of Christ, you've got to have a very clear understanding of who we're talking about. Amen, amen, amen. First of all, every believer, let me tell you, y'all, this is what distinguishes us from the Jehovah's Witnesses and from the Mormons and from some other folk, because we believe that Jesus was not just a man. We believe as New Testament Christians that Jesus Christ is God. That's the difference. That's the difference. Amen. I know some mighty nice Jehovah's Witnesses, real good people. I know some real nice Mormons and all of that. Amen. But when you come short of being able to say that Jesus Christ is eternally God, tell your neighbor, you've missed the mark. So the first thing we understand is that Jesus Christ is eternally God. The Bible is clear. The Bible is consistent in teaching that Jesus is God. Yet the deity of Christ has been under constant attack from other faiths, from other denominations. Even the Muslims will say, amen, Jesus was a great prophet. But they will not say that he is God. That makes the difference. That makes the difference. The deity of Christ is constantly and vehemently attacked because it is essential to the historical Christian faith. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying quite simply that Christianity is Christ and Christ is God. So if you can undermine the deity of Christ and make him merely a good teacher or a great prophet, you render Christianity impotent. Y'all, if Jesus ain't God, we may as well go on home. Choir, that was beautiful singing, amen. But if Jesus ain't God, you just wasted your time. Musicians, y'all were awesome. All praise team, beautiful job. Amen, wonderful job. Deacons in praying. But if Jesus is not God, get your stuff and let's go on home, because we're wasting our time. Is there anybody here who doesn't care what the devil says? You don't care what the news reporters say? You don't care what the scientists say? I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus because I know him to be God. I said, I know him to be God. I know him to be God. And he's God all by himself. So that's the first thing you got to get it. You got to get it in your head. If you're going to appreciate the humiliation of Christ, you've got to appreciate the fact that Jesus was not just somebody off the street, but he is in actuality God incarnate. God left his throne in glory, came down through 42 generations, was born in a lowly manger, lived for some 33 years. He ultimately got nailed to an old rugged cross, and he died. And are you grateful? Are you thankful that he was willing to humble himself so you could get saved? Not only is he God, but he also became fully human. Look at verse 6. Verse 6, it says, though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. Now, the word grasp translates a Greek term that is used only here in the New Testament. It speaks of plunder. It speaks of a prize. It speaks of anything to be seized or greatly desired. It's used here to speak of the attitude of Christ toward the perfect will and redemptive plan of God the Father. You see, every privilege of deity belonged to Christ because he is God. But watch this. Even though he knew he was God, he did not hold on to the glory of his deity. Like a robber. You know, when a robber steals something, they grab the loot, they grab the money, they hang it on to it. Amen. But Jesus was willing to humble himself enough that he didn't walk around saying, I'm God. As a matter of fact, you would often hear him say, it ain't time yet. You know, amen, that don't need to be revealed yet. Amen, amen. Think about Jesus. Eternally God, became fully human. Christ, who in eternity rested on the bosom of the Father without a mother. Yet, that was in eternity. But in time, he rested on the bosom of a mother without an earthly father. Y'all, he's somebody. God, who in Eden's garden took from a man, a motherless woman, in Bethlehem's barn, took from a woman of a fatherless man. Jesus. The Ancient of Days became the Infant of Days. A baby as old as his heavenly father, but ages older than his human mother, Mary. He's somebody. I'm talking about Jesus, who created the angels, yet was made a little lower than the angels. I'm talking about Jesus, who said before Abraham was, I am. Yet he was born 2,000 years after Abraham died. I'm talking about Jesus. Y'all, he is God. He's self-existent. He is eternal. He is immutable. He could never stop being God. But in what we call the kenosis, and this word kenosis, amen, is derived from the verb in verse 7, he emptied himself. That means that all of the glory that he had as God, he was willing to lay it aside just long enough so he could get to a cross called Calvary and die for you and for me. Is there anybody glad about it? That's why we worship him. That's why we praise him. Because he did for us what we could not have done for himself. And I need to remind you that he didn't have to. Tell your neighbor, he didn't have to die. No. He didn't have to die. He didn't have to die. He could have declared that his glory was too precious to disrobe for sinners. He could have declared that his position was too high to condescend to sinners. He could have declared that his power was too great to lay aside for sinners. He could have declared that his heavenly possessions were too valuable to part with for sinners. He could have declared that his blood was too good to shed for sinners. Don't think he had to. He could have declared that his hands were too holy to be pierced for sinners. But is there anybody here who's glad that he was willing to humble himself so you could get saved? Come on. I'm not judging you. Let me just talk about human nature. Y'all know we're too mean to live. We really ain't fit to die. Y'all know we got bad attitudes. We got bad language. We act bad. We do bad stuff. We think bad stuff. We talk about people. We lie on people. Amen. All of the stuff we do. Yet in spite of all of that, not yet, he was willing to humble himself enough.
We at the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church hope that Reverend Garner's message blessed and revived your spirit. Thank you for listening, and be sure and join us in Leesville for our regularly scheduled Sunday and midweek services. If you'd like a copy of this message, phone us at 337-238-1779. The Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, the place where God blesses